American Public Media.
This public radio podcast is supported by the School of Graduate Studies at St. Cloud State University, offering more than 70 graduate programs and certificates. More information at stcloudstate.edu.
From Minnesota Public Radio, this is Grammar Grader. It's the podcast about words, grammar, and usage in the information age. This week's episode, Woulda, Shoulda, Coulda.
Now let's see who's really been haunting the abandoned carnival all this time.
Jenkies! It's the old caretaker!
Just as I thought!
And I would have gotten away with it, too, if it hadn't been for...
Wait. Did you just say I would have got away with it?
I could have, yeah.
Could of?
You mean would have.
And could have.
What?
Are you sounding out contractions phonetically?
Contractions? I'm a spooky carnival caretaker, not an obstetrician.
No, contractions. Two words combined to make a single word. Like, do not becomes don't, as in, don't scare people.
Or you will becomes you'll, as in, you'll probably do hard time for fraud. Get it?
Sort of.
Sort of as an adverb, not a contraction. But you're close. Good thing we detained you using this old truck tire and that fishing net. We've got a lot of work to do.
Today, we're discussing contractions. Rather, we're discussing contractions that are often misspelled or confused when they make their way from spoken English into written English. Taken by themselves, contractions seem to be pretty straightforward. Most contractions in English follow one of two common forms. The first is combining a pronoun with an auxiliary verb, such as,
I am going to call my lawyer.
Which becomes,
I'm going to sue you kids and your dog.
Huh? Ruh-roh.
Another common way to form a contraction is to take a modal auxiliary verb, also called a helping verb, and negate it. Put simply,
you will not
contracts to,
no, you won't.
Now those are pretty easy, and probably don't give writers a lot of trouble. Things get sticky, however, when the lines blur between formal written English and informal spoken English. Contractions that normally go unnoticed when spoken have found a strange place in written communication, especially email. When speaking, contractions like would have take on an auditory quality that can be deceptive. The contraction would have can sound as though the speaker is combining the modal auxiliary verb would with the preposition of, or, spoken even more quickly, it might come out as woulda. And while the error may go unnoticed in conversation, it becomes clear when it's written out. Contractions like would of and should of seem to be all over emails, blogs, and personal web pages. As Patricia O'Connor writes in Woe Is I, her guide to better English,
there's good reason to stay away from writing these. Seen in print, they encourage mispronunciation. It's fine to pronounce these as though the H and have were silent, but let's not forget the have is there. Write it out.
Confusing things further, English is filled with adverbs and modifiers that seem to lend credence to the argument that could of is an acceptable way to convey could have.
Can you take the fishing net off my head now? It's sort of uncomfortable.
Colloquial adverbs like sort of and kind of mean somewhat or rather. And unlike the contractions mentioned previously, these adverbs are perfectly acceptable. Because they're informal and have the same sound as contractions, they contribute to the confusion. If all this talk of haves and ofs is still confusing, just be sure to double-check contractions before putting them in writing.
Look, would you just call the police already?
I don't know. Do you think he understands contractions, Daphne?
I think he sort of gets it.
I do. Contractions and adverbs. I get it.
Okay, Freddy. Go ahead and untie him.
Man, I should have never let you trap me like this.
Never should of?
Should have. I said have.
Go get the Strunken Whites out of the van, will you, Freddy? We've got a lot of work to do.
Could have been a life that kept on.
This has been Grammar Grader from Minnesota Public Radio. Source material for this episode comes from the Oxford Dictionary of Current English and Woe Is I by Patricia O'Connor. Both are available at publicradiomarket.org. Thanks as always to the Grammatis Personae players, Corey Bussey, Bridget Murphy, and John Ryan. Our producers are Brett Baldwin and Jen Houck. John Pearson is the executive producer. I'm Luke Taylor. Thanks for listening. And if you like Grammar Grader, give feedback, share your thoughts, and join the discussion at grammargrader.gather.com.